Technorama episode 447, homeopathic comedy. It's like regular comedy, only we've diluted it so far that it's really not that effective.
Does it?
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Heisenberg's uncertainty principle states that we can never truly know the momentum and position of particles. Do you know?
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here are your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Unfasten what? What did he say?
Unfasten your belt.
Unfasten your chastity belts?
Yeah, there you go.
That's exactly what he said.
Welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a very lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, wow, welcome. Thank you for joining us. If you're a returning listener or viewer, we should include those. We've never really mentioned the viewers, but thank you, viewers. Thank you
for
joining us.
We've been ignoring them all this time?
No wonder nobody watches these things.
No kidding.
Yeah.
We've been ignoring them. Thank
you. That's the reason.
I am Chuck Tomasi, and with me as always is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I am fantastic. Yeah, and a little cuckoo.
A little.
Slightly. Actually, I'm excited because Dragon Con's coming up.
Hey, yeah, what, 2 weeks or less?
Yeah.
2 weeks.
As of this recording, it's about 2 weeks.
It's about a week from the time the listeners hear it.
Yeah, I do have a sad bit of news about Dragon Con, though.
Oh? Should we illuminate now or later?
Well, Scott Tyler, you know, our robot Santa.
Yes.
Had sent me his new creation to go along with the costume.
Yes.
Because I'm driving to Atlanta, so I'm like the cosplay mule. Everybody sends me stuff and I take it down, drive it down. So I
Don't
got his
my
new
phaser.
Wait a minute, you're the mule? So where are you carrying all this stuff?
I'm actually transporting weapons across state line.
Oh no.
We More prefer like to call him an asset, which is a little donkey.
Asset. But the sad bit of news was that he had made a Gatling gun looking thing to go with his robot costume, the robot Santa, and it is in pieces. So,
are you hot gluing it, morning, PVC morning. Piping it back together? What are you doing?
I'm going to improve upon it. I am going to make it better. I have the technology. I am going to fix it for him. He's like, man, I'll never do that again. I was like, chill out. We can make it happen. So I'm going to fix it for him.
All right. Joining us here in the Binary Studios in sunny Phoenix, Arizona. I don't know why California almost came off my lips, but I'm ahead of myself. Joining us is?
I'm Jack Mangan, and I am the placebo.
to the homeopathic medicine.
Yes.
Yeah, then we got sidetracked.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't think he's working.
I'm just Ben Ragginton. Just plain old Ben Ragginton.
Just plain.
He's the alchemist.
Yeah. Yes.
And I'm Keith Lane over here. Since my camera's not working.
I stole his camera. Okay, with the chit-chat out of the way, let us get on with what's coming up in this episode. We have beer. Beer is good. UFOs. UFOs are good. And Disney. You guys like Disney, right?
Yeah.
We have some Disney news.
All three things together are the best.
Stick around.
Exactly.
I right-clicked on the selection I made, and I would not have the copy option to save my life, nor could I hit Control-C.
Could Grease Monkey be involved?
He's there.
Welcome to the Firefox Forum.
This is the Firefox Clearinghouse.
Yet another proof that magnetism isn't good for computer stuff.
Man, I can't get connected.
What was that?
Gilroy 2.0 is here. Gilroy 2.0 is everywhere. Gilroy 2.0 commands that you listen to Technorama. Do you comply?
What
the Chuck.
What on earth was that?
That was J.C. Hutchins. Didn't you ever listen to Seventh Son?
No.
Oh,
no.
Man. Oh, wow. Hey, you missed a good audio show.
Yeah. Trilogy. Well, it's still floating around there anyway. It's still floating around there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a trilogy that he did. Good stuff. We had an intro on that, didn't we? When he did previously on Seventh Son.
Yes. We actually did an interview with him. Yeah. So it's been a while. But yeah, that's on Patio Books. You can go check it out.
All right.
Okay. Well, we'll
wait.
While you go listen.
then you can add some to the conversation.
Our question last week was, what sci-fi gadget do you want most? And Scott, our listener in Robot Santa, said, I'm torn between a sonic screwdriver and a replicator.
Although, hey, wait a minute. I could use both of those on this tool here strewn across my floor.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. Although a real lightsaber might be handy.
Looks like somebody did use it on his tool strewn across my floor.
Yeah. Well, or that's for the combat by, or what was it? Trial by combat.
Boy, did we weave that in well last week.
Yeah, that was a nice meme. Good callbacks.
Daniel, who's one of our Pathfinder RPG players with Scott and Ben, other Ben and Brian. I mean, anyway, Daniel writes, it depends on what schematics the replicator has on it and how big it is. If the replicator can make the sonic screwdriver, you're all set, because sonic screwdriver beats lightsaber by turning it off.
Yeah, there you go.
Right.
Plus, it does quite literally anything it needs to.
In other words, it's a magic wand.
As we were talking about earlier today.
And Ranger Craig from Alcatraz, or formerly from Alcatraz, writes in, a flying car. We got all that other stuff, but that. There's a dust storm warning in this area until 9 p.m. Avoid travel. Check local media. Now you know what's happening in Phoenix when we record this.
Yes.
What, you just get a message, a text?
You didn't hear the emergency broadcast system thing going off on the phones?
Yeah.
No, I did not. Did not
my phone's turned off.
That and like Amber Alerts come across.
I'm
that
sorry.
Way,
oh, that was the sound of me not caring. I'm just kidding.
Wow. Well,
snap.
With that, let's do the history thing. It can be fun, and we will prove it on this day in history for August 26, 2015. This is the 238th day. Wow, they're flying by now.
They are.
In the Gregorian calendar, there are 127 or 7F days remaining in 2015. It was on this date in 1498 that Michelangelo is commissioned to carve the Pietà.
I thought it said pinata for a minute.
Yeah.
Also today in 1768, Captain James Cook set sail from England aboard the HMS Endeavour.
On August 26, 1791, John Fitch is granted a United States patent for the steamboat.
And Steamboat Willie was born.
That's right.
Very steampunk.
The 19th Amendment to the United States Constitution takes effect, giving women the right to vote on this date in 1920.
Yay!
4 years ago today, the Boeing 787 Dreamliner, Boeing's all purpose new composite airliner, received certification from the EASA and the FAA.
And the EIEIO.
Yes.
Happy birthday goes out of the state to Swiss mathematician, physicist, and astronomer Johann Heinrich Lambert, born today in 1728. Craig, would you like help with this next French name?
No. I'm offended by you even asking.
Good luck with
that. Also born on this date in 1740, the inventor of the hot air balloon, Joseph Michael Montgolfier.
Close.
Not bad.
Just make it sound like I said it right. Go with it.
Let's dub this in later. Joseph Michel Montgolfier.
Shut up.
Impressive. Good job, Craig.
Yeah, I'm impressed.
It's even Craig's in Chuck's voice.
Good ventriloquism. Yeah. Another inventor, Lee DeForest, kind of like DeForest Kelly.
That's what I thought too.
He was born today in 1873. He invented the Audion tube. Damn it, I'm an inventor, not a... I'm sorry.
Yeah. Not a tube maker.
Audion tube, isn't that a startup company on the internet?
Yeah, that's it. Mother Teresa would have been 105 today.
Physicist, space scientist, and mathematician Katherine Johnson turns 97.
British computer scientist Karen Spark Jones would have been 80.
And one of the most famous voice actors in the world, or should we say,
in a world,
Don LaFontaine would have been 75 today.
Funny how everybody knows that.
In a world.
I wasn't sure if everybody was going to read that right, but okay, good job. And finally, sharing the same birthday on the same year, actors Macaulay Culkin and Chris Pine both turned 35 today.
35? I thought Chris Pine turned 34.
34.
He was born in 1980.
Yeah, maybe it was wrong.
Oh.
Oh, well.
Well, I got this from Wikipedia. You check your sources.
Yeah, I got famousbirthdays.net.
He's 30. Well, we couldn't figure out when Steve Wozniak was born either.
Yeah. So what day was it?
It was one of these days in history.
He'll be 35. He will be 35.
Sorry.
That's the way it was on this day in history for August 26, 2015.
Very nice.
You believe it.
Although I'm still missing that last.
Well, that wasn't the end of the song. We just marched him out. We have a longer version.
I still have to process that Macaulay Culkin is the same age as Captain Kirk. I mean, that's.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Chris Pine.
Good news, everyone.
The good news is that there's a woman who just wanted to marry Jesus Christ.
Hey, wait a minute. Back up for just one second.
Yes.
Can you imagine Macaulay Culkin if he got as Captain Kirk? There you go.
And that's the reaction I was looking for. Yeah.
And the traps he would have set for the Klingons.
Here comes Nero.
So it's a trek alone.
Trek alone.
Trek alone. Who wants a story about the woman who married Jesus? And not Jesus either.
All right, I'll take it.
Go ahead, Ben.
When high school teacher Jessica Hayes decided to get married, she settled for no less than the Son of God himself. The 38-year-old from Fort Wayne. Thank you. The 38-year-old from Fort Wayne, Indiana, tied the knot with Jesus Christ in an elaborate church ceremony last weekend. The groom, of course, was not present.
Well, he was omnipresent.
Yes. Hayes, a theology teacher at Bishop Dwenger High School, said that she made the decision to marry Christ after years of prayer and soul searching. She's now part of an elite group of consecrated virgins, women who led chaste lives but are not required to live in convents,
or whorehouses, either one.
Glad you said that. Or obliged to work for the Catholic Church. Hayes plans to continue her normal life at home, but she will not be able to marry or have sex with anyone for the rest of her life.
Looks like she's crying there at the last second or third picture there.
I don't know about you.
Ready her decision.
Sorry. Yeah, I
admire her faith, but this just had comedy written all over it. I mean,
well, there's faith, and then there's obsession, and yeah. Faith can be very misplaced.
I was thinking of it from the standpoint of, Jesus Christ, would you pick up the socks?
Oh, dear. There you go.
It gave me a chance to play a lot of different sound effects.
Oh, yeah. That worked great for you.
And who's got a co-sign on her loans and stuff?
I mean, yeah, exactly. The Son of God is my
little co-signer. Little does she know there's a rumor he might have already been married.
Oh.
Ooh.
Well... Maybe it's like Doctor Who, where the old wife died and he gets to move on.
Well, Mary Magdalene would have been gone by now.
True. Well,
that's true.
So, there you go. There's that.
How many women can be married to him at the same time? How do you witness that wedding, anyway?
Maybe marry somebody posthumously. Posthumously.
Posthumously.
Posthumously.
Posthumously.
Yeah.
You know what I mean.
Posthumanly.
Hey
now, that's it.
Posthumanly? We have talked about drones many times. There's a video last week of the Eagle that took down the drone.
Drone on about it, Chuck.
Drone on. And we also discovered a few weeks ago that it's illegal to shoot down a drone because it's an aircraft. Right. Well, just in case you want to go beyond that, there's now special ammunition just for shooting down drones.
Drone munition.
Have you ever wanted to shoot down a drone out of the sky but just didn't have the right kind of bullets? You're in luck. You're violent-minded human. Snake River Shooting Products just started shipping its drone munition. Quote, prepare for the drone apocalypse, unquote. The Idaho-based company says that the shotgun shells come with high-quality load that will effectively disable a drone encroaching your property's airspace. You should realize that shooting down a stranger's drone might come with some legal consequences. That is, unless you do it in self-defense, because we had that story about the drone with the gun on it.
Yeah.
Now you can shoot back effectively. It's unclear if what self-defense will look like if the drone apocalypse does descend upon us in the near future. But maybe for now, let's not shoot robots out of the sky unless you have a drone hunting license, of course.
Otherwise, this gives a whole new meaning to Skynet.
Right. You guys have heard the story about Japan and U.S. are going to have giant robots that fight, right?
I mean, yes.
Yes.
So we are living in Battletech. I mean, this is really, you could say this is awesome. Now we have robots flying all around and giant humanoid robots fighting. I mean, this is fantastic.
Until Skynet comes, yeah, until Skynet takes over and realizes that they don't like being used.
Then we're great.
What?
You're droiding.
Coincidence?
Skynet's breaking you up.
They're interfering with my transmission. I'm
really bad.
Wow. I thought Johnny Mathis had problems with his recordings.
Craig has been taken offline.
Is it not working?
There we go. Oh, yeah. You're back.
Hey, by the way, but.
Yes.
When you were here, I kept thinking, I see Mr. Haney giving this message about the, you're in luck, Mr. I got information right here for you.
I think we got the gist of that.
I can tell there's a joke there.
Yeah, Mr. Haney selling drone bullets.
Yeah.
We've got you out here. This is the best 12-gauge shotgun.
Mr. Douglas, can you not hear me?
Barely.
No, just barely.
Your quality went down to almost nothing.
It's coming in and out.
Yeah, see there.
This is all right. All right.
When you don't have anything important to say,
you need. Yeah, you sound fantastic.
Don't go there. Don't go there. Shame on you.
Like you back out there one day.
When you're trying to really talk and have something important to say, it messes up.
To the moon, Keith.
Okay, let's try this.
Birthday calendar music. That's what that is. It's the listener birthday calendar. Let's take a look at that. August 26th is SF Edwards. Hey, SF, we're still waiting to hear back from you on any special reports you'd like to give us. Yeah, we were intrigued by your offer.
He made some mention of that on Facebook the other day.
Yeah.
Waiting.
August 27th, Chuck's forgotten iPod. In fact, I forgot I even put this on here, or what iPod it refers to. So when that went in, or what for? Was it the iPod first gen 10 gig, or was it the... Never mind. August 29th, Kent Crawford. August 30th, Maximilian Bjorstein from Stockholm, Sweden. August 31st is Tim Downing and Ron Johnson. Happy birthday to all of you. If it's your birthday this week and you didn't make it on the birthday calendar, happy birthday anyway. And if you want to be on the birthday calendar, go to chuckchat.com/wiki, add your name, and we'll be happy to give you a shout out at the appropriate time of year. Whenever.
Yeah, I thought you said Ron Swanson there for a minute.
No. Now is your audio okay? We take another quick break and we will be back with lots and lots of stories that are even stranger than what we've done so far, if you can believe that. Hang on to your tinfoil hats.
Hi, I'm Nuke Choss, the host of Nutty Bites.
And hi, I'm Tech, Nutty's regular guest.
Or antagonist. Our podcast is like a call-in show where geeks get to debate topics about speculative fiction.
We don't really debate.
Sure we do. We debate topics such as lame superpowers, the best villains, and our favorite apocalypses.
We're more like rant, rave, and then have massive nerd rages.
People call in from all over the world, sometimes minor celebrities, and we've even had some supervillains show up.
Do you ever notice that you never have any superheroes or good guys?
I'm a good guy.
Compared to what?
Antagonist. Not really a guest. Nutty Bites. Nimlast.org.
This is Steve Holden from TechNewsRadio.com, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig of Technorama Podcast.
I may see Steve Holden again this week.
I'm sorry. I mean, good.
Nah. What are these little googly eye things you put in here in the show notes?
How'd you do that?
Okay. Really clever. He made a little face on the Hex and Strange Stories.
Now I have something funny to say, huh?
No, he just had something funny to type.
Yeah, type everything else and we'll just read it.
Access denied.
There you go.
Well, being a father of two girls, I know, Jackie, you've got a girl also. This may be a problem for you because...
I mean, I like how he leads into that.
Well, it was a problem for me at first, but I also had numerous sisters, so this wasn't as big of a problem as maybe most dads. Who read the last... Who got the... Did you...
I did the first one. First,
I can do this
one. Jack, go do this one. Jack. Jack's got the daughter. Let him go for this and see if it's a problem for him.
Oh, snide.
Since you're dedicating this to me, I'll...
Do you have problems?
Call.
Not Call now.
Well, this is the homeopathic comedy, remember?
Yeah.
Right. This is the natural solution. There's something quite special about dads doing their daughter's hair, as in them... All right, no, wait. I'm not going to go off for it. There's something quite special about dads doing their daughter's hair. Celebrating the fact is Denver salon owner Callie Hubel
Bodley, I think.
Bodley, probably. She regularly hosts a hairdressing workshop called Beer and Braids for dads and their little girls at her salon En Vogue. The workshop, priced at $55, provides one-on-one training to six dads on ponytail, braid, and bun basics. They get hands-on practice on their own daughter's hair, after which the little girls put on a fashion show that is judged by stylists. The winning dad gets a six-pack of beer.
Hey!
While all the girls are gifted goodie bags with hair products.
Now, what she discovered is that she was working, and a lot of these dads have working moms, too. So, while mom's out of town or something, the dad goes, and the girl says, Daddy, can you do pinky tails? Or, Daddy, can you do braids? And daddy's going, I can barely tie my shoes.
Yeah.
And they're coming in with some crazy hairdos. So she got wind of this at work and started this workshop, which I think is a great idea. She recognized the need and, of course, gave the dads an incentive they can certainly follow up with.
It would have been funny, though, if the beer had been served during the workshop.
There you go. That's what I was
I would
about.
Have loved to have seen that.
What's your inspiration for one ponytail on one set of the head?
Suzanne Summers and the
my sister?
Napoleon Dynamite.
Napoleon Dynamite, same thing.
Yeah, I mean, that was my concern, too. It was like, here, Dad, here's a whole bunch of beer. Now here are some scissors. Now go
for it!
No, they don't give them scissors. They just give
scissors.
So, Callie said that she got the idea for the event from her husband. His business partner had arrived late for a meeting one day because his wife was out of town and he had to style his daughter's hair. The result was disastrous. That's when Callie realized that a workshop for dads had tremendous potential. Dads today are so much more hands-on, she said. Many of my female clients are the breadwinners. The CEOs and the dads stay at home.
Nice.
I got a solution for that.
And the little girls apparently love it.
The daughter of the winning dad was sad when asked why. It's because daddy makes me sad when he drinks beer.
Just kidding. Oh, my
God. Just kidding.
Does it really say that in the article?
No.
I made it up.
I mean, Craig.
You got him.
Dang it.
Let's go on to something a little more up.
We're going to scan the article.
Jack Alley.
That was upbeat.
Where's the word sad? Where's the word sad? All right, we talked about the Amazon Dash buttons, right? Those little buttons they're sending out that you can push a button and it will order Tide detergent for you, and
more
it'll
beer.
Send a new one. Instead of, I don't know why, we have like a monthly subscription to cat food. Well, this guy, of course, somebody had to figure out how to hack these things.
Oh, geez.
He didn't do anything nefarious. He did something he wanted to do a proof of concept. So when you push the button, he said with just a few lines of Python code, you can insert your own data into the data stream, which
more
I think is kind of cool.
More beer.
So on the video, he's got a Huggies button. And if you push the button, they're not always on the Wi-Fi to save battery energy. They fire up, they boot up in about 5-10 seconds, and then they spew out their data stream. Normally, this would be to Amazon that says, hey, I need more Huggies, or I need more Tide, or I need more of whatever product. He injected into his data stream to go insert a new line on a Google spreadsheet that says poopy diaper.
Okay. Oh, jeez.
Now think about this, Craig. You okay. and I work for a cloud software provider. Imagine mm-hmm. what you could do for an organization that if you push a button, it goes and triggers off a process. Mm-hmm. You know, you're an automation sure. consultant, right? Think about mm-hmm. putting that into your workflow. One push button, you don't even need to log in anymore. You just trigger this process starting. Go provision me a new VM.
Hey,
push
you know what?
Button servers.
yeah. Mm. You know what? You could actually, we should get some that are branded for our work.
Uh-huh. uh-huh.
That would be pretty cool.
I kind of want to get one of these buttons now and start fooling around with this thing and then you know, see what I can inject into the data stream.
Yeah. More like a raise.
Oh, you get a raise? Is that what you said? Push a button yeah. and get another bonus?
This is me speaking. Yes.
Warning.
Stupid Skype.
Yeah, it really is being stupid.
It really is today.
Wow, it hasn't acted up this badly in a long time.
Actually, it's me doing it over here.
Ah!
Thank you, sir.
Saboteur.
He's pushing a button on this device every time.
Hey, I remember one time it was messing up with me, and it was screwing up the same word each time. So I'd come back to the same word trying to say it again, and it would screw up in the same part of the sentence. Remember that?
NSA. NSA, NSA, yeah. NSA.
Chinese government.
Tuning me out. Yeah. Chinese government. That's right. Yeah.
Normally, this is the part of the show where we give a shout out to the chat room, but since we don't have a chat room because we're not live streaming yet, we want to give a huge thank you to Gilbert Fraga for his donation to the Software Upgrade Fund. It's not too late to send your donation. Go to chuckchat.com, click on the Technorama link. Over on the right-hand side, you will see some PayPal buttons. We would greatly appreciate your contribution. We're getting closer.
Hey, where's the thermostat at now?
The thermostat?
Or the thermometer.
Oh, the thermometer. Yeah, Craig, there is a difference between thermostat and thermometer.
Right. I understand that.
It's about 110 in Phoenix today.
Yeah. We do have those here in the south.
With a dust storm warning.
Yeah.
We need our Remember When music. Since we forgot our Hacks and Strange Stories music.
Oops.
All right. According to one astronaut, UFOs and the alien occupants help prevent a nuclear war.
Good. Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks,
guys. Craig, do I dare let you read this?
Yes, please. Come right. on, man.
Well, I don't know how your audio is going to hold up, but give it a try.
All right. The sixth man to walk on the moon says the pacifist alien visitors tried to create world peace by disabling missiles during the Cold War weapons test. Edgar Mitchell, who walked on the moon during the Apollo 14 mission in 1971, told the Mirror Online in a recent interview that he believes that UFOs reported around military bases during the Cold War were on a mission to prevent nuclear war between the U.S. and the Soviet Union.
Sounds plausible to me.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds good. Sounds legit. And he's quoted as saying, "My own experience talking to people has made it clear that the ETs have been attempting to keep us from going to war and help create peace on Earth."
And mercy mild.
Yes, sir. He also added, I've spoken to the aliens myself.
Yeah, really.
Yeah. He says, "I have spoken to many Air Force officers who have worked in these silos during the Cold War. They have told me that UFOs frequently seen overhead and often disable their missiles. Other officers from bases in the Pacific Coast told me that their test missiles were frequently shot down by alien spacecraft. And there was a lot of activity in those days. It sounds like it."
Actually,
this is not the first time I've heard this. In fact, he's actually in another interview went a little further to say that the aliens are still on Earth and they're still working with government leaders in an attempt to try and help us get past this adolescence that we're in.
Oh, that's Genie's books. My God.
I know. It's right out of Genie Koch's alien books, but he said the same thing.
And they have these Gort robots. They have these Gort robots that
Gort.
Will reduce,
hey.
Well, they'll reduce our planet to a burnt out cinder.
Yeah.
Oh, I have a sound for that. But
you have
what a downer.
The music from
So did he? So then, did he say that he's encountered these aliens ever on the moon, or is it just a coincidence that he's also? Or
oh,
is,
that
is
would not, be silly. Don't be ridiculous.
I think, well, right. No, I think of all the quotes, he's spoken to everybody but the aliens.
Okay. Nice.
Too bad I didn't find it when you were talking about Gort.
Hey, you know, if you would imagine if even a test missile, all right, goes up and the aliens blow it out of the sky, wouldn't you imagine that somebody not authorized somewhere would have seen something?
You would have thunk.
You would have thunk.
They wiped their memories.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, okay.
But then there's also... keep in mind that back at that time, it also depends on when, I mean, let's assume that what he said is true. I'm not saying that it is, but let's assume for a second that it is. I would like to think that maybe they were shot down at a time when maybe no one was really around to look. And of course, with the world being what it was then, as opposed to it is today, I mean, there are always people who are trying to sneak onto, you know, bases and see all sorts of nefarious things that are going on. It was very easy. It was much easier to kind of keep those kinds of secrets back during the days of the Cold War than it is today. Well, you know, and to be honest, you know, this is going to sound kind of weird, but the idea of aliens actually being on the Earth that are preventing us from killing ourselves, I kind of find it intriguing.
Yeah. I hope it's true.
Yeah,
I really do.
Well, this guy does say, or it says in the article, that Mitchell has been an outspoken believer in extraterrestrial visitors to Earth since his return from the moon in 1971. He grew up in New Mexico, not far from Roswell or the White Sands Missile Range, where the first nuclear bombs were tested. Beam me up.
Yeah.
And you know what?
There's another one.
No, this isn't a dust storm. This is aliens are approaching. Oh, yeah. The missiles have been launched.
Oh, my God.
They let us loose.
Duck and cover.
Doesn't this sound a lot like an interview with Art Bell?
Oh, theater of the mind.
Ooh.
Love him.
Ooh.
Yeah. Actually, it does kind of sound like an Art Bell type thing. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised if Art Bell had him on his show.
I would not doubt it.
Let's turn from the aliens and missiles to something a little more CIA. In 1943, a young Julia Child was working for the CIA on a slightly different recipe than the ones we remember her for. A shark repellent that was soon spread widely through the government agencies.
Hey, I think Batman used it.
Right.
He did.
Chuck, the shark. It was
a bat shark repellent. Yeah, that was in the Batman movie.
It was a spray. Right.
Yep.
But Chuck, you need to read the story in Julia Child's voice.
Okay. I was waiting for somebody. Thank you. According to several memos from the mid to late 1943, tested showed copper acetate to be over 60% effective in deterring shark bites. We need more sherry. Other field tests showed even more promising results. Unfortunately, the copper acetate was deemed completely ineffective in deterring attacks from other carnivorous fish of concern to the armed forces, like barracudas and piranhas.
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 Didn't you watch your Jacques Cousteau? That man could not say piranha. He kept saying piranha. Or maybe that was Jean-Michel. I can't remember which one.
It was one of them.
To create the repellent, copper acetate was mixed with black dye, which then formed into a little disc-shaped cake that smelled like dead shark when released into the water. These cakes would be stored in small 3-inch boxes with metal screens that allowed the repellent to be spread either manually or automatically when submerged in water. The box could be attached to a life jacket or belt or strapped to a person's leg or arm. And it was said to keep sharks away for 6 to 7 hours.
Save the liver!
Cake.
Shark pate!
Dead shark cake.
Because piranhas love dead shark cake.
Yes. And piranhas. Sorry.
Unsurprisingly, a little bit of copper acetate mixed with dye turned out not to be an absolute deterrent against shark swimming by that they were hoping for. In fact, while it certainly didn't seem to be attracting sharks, it didn't seem to be turning them back either.
Hey, there's your placebo, Jack.
Yeah.
But hey, figured the OSS, if we can't actually repel sharks, maybe the next best thing is at least convincing everyone that we can.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
I love the little government slide in there.
Look at the second comment there. Of course, that's the Batman fighting off the shark we were just talking about.
Oh, dear Lord. There it is. That is one of my most fond Adam West Batman memories.
There is there's a guy who does the Dragon Con parade, and you've probably seen him before. He's got a little fuzzy animal shark on it stuck to his leg, but the costume is spot on for the old Batman.
Oh, so he's the Batman with the shark.
Yes.
We were thinking up other creative cosplay last night when we were watching, Mike and I were watching Blazing Saddles, and we thought the guy in the wheelchair getting hung would be good.
Yeah.
Very obscure.
How would you do that?
What? You sit in a wheelchair and you get a rope around your neck. Yeah. Or the guy with the horse.
The guy on the horse, yeah.
Getting hung. Yeah,
exactly. With the horse also being hung.
Right.
Exterminate.
Since we're on the topic of Batman, we need to go to the media corner for the next story.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the media corner.
Who wants the Batman? It's a sad, sad Batman story.
Oh, boy. I suppose I'll take it.
I suppose.
A sad man story.
Everybody running all at once.
Lenny B. Robinson, the Lamborghini Batman, who dressed as the Dark Knight and visited children in hospitals with his black Gallardo, was killed in a car crash along I-70 in Maryland last night, according to news reports. He was 51. Robinson died coming back from a car show in West Virginia, the Washington Post reports. His Batmobile broke down with engine trouble, and when he got out to inspect the car, it was struck by a Toyota Camry, and then his own car hit him, the newspaper reports. That sucks. Three years ago, Robinson became a viral sensation after getting pulled over by Maryland police in the Lamborghini. It quickly came out that he was a wealthy local who enjoyed dressing as Batman, visiting kids in his car, and handing out toys and memorabilia. Sometimes his son would join him dressed as Robin. Robinson later got a real Batmobile instead of the Lambo, a replica of the George Barris car from the 1960s Batman TV show. He used it to visit children across the country, and it was not immediately clear which car was involved in Sunday's crash.
Was this the guy that helped the kid, it was in San Francisco, be a superhero for a day?
Oh, Batkid, I remember. I don't know if it's
the same guy. It might be, though.
Kind of looks like him.
Could be. I don't remember.
Yeah, that was just really sad.
That just looked like Batman to me. Though.
Yeah, I mean, one visit to Children's National Medical Center in Washington, he reflected on his wealth, on the wealth of his own three children. We're very lucky, he said. At Children's, there were kids with tubes in their noses, with IVs in their arms. He handed out gifts, Batman books, rubber Batman symbol bracelets, and other toys. Batman made those kids smile. They all thought he was Batman, a hero. I'm just doing it for the kids, he said. This is just a downer.
Yeah,
it is.
That's awesome. We wanted to pass that along in case anybody did miss the story, but that is a sad story. Hopefully somebody will pick up the torch.
Yeah.
I love his cause, and I love the way he's going about doing it. And
I agree.
Yeah.
I mean, really, really good for him. I mean, there's nothing else to say about that.
Prayers to him and his family. Yeah. All right, now let's get on to something silly again.
Oh, silly isn't the word.
Oh, you've heard this news, Disney.
I reported on it on our own show.
Tomorrow.
Oh, Chuck may.
On
Chuck
Monday,
must
we'll talk listen. About it before you talk about it on Wednesday.
Okay. Yeah,
we already leaked it.
Both of these stories, actually.
Okay, well, the short story is Disney's coming out with a Jungle Cruise movie starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Well, according to our news source, I'm praying that this movie is more of a mold of Pirates of the Caribbean than Tomorrowland. It doesn't need to be brilliant to work. It just needs to be fun. According to the Hollywood Reporter, the script is coming from John Requa and Glenn Ficarra and is going to be a period piece similar to The African Queen in tone. Did you know The African Queen was filmed on the Thames?
Really?
On the Thames?
Yes.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and they brought in a whole bunch of tropical birds, and the birds still live there today. They're sort of an invasive species.
I had no idea, because we saw it just a couple of years ago, and it you could not tell.
Yeah, when we were in, I was out there in business in May at our office that is right along the Thames, really upstream towards Runnymede and Slough and in that area. Egham, I think, is the actual town where the office is. And I'm walking along the river, and my coworker says, "Do you hear the parakeets?" "Yeah, I do hear. What are parakeets doing in London?" Said, "This is where they filmed The African Queen, and they couldn't get rid of the birds after the movie was over.
They settled.
Like, break it up, go home."
The real bummer, though, is that this movie has been in development since the early 2000s, and originally it was going to be a contemporary piece starring Tom Hanks and Tim Allen.
Yeah.
Are they going to do, like, The Ride at the Park where they narrate?
Well, the fact that they're kind of going with this, I don't know what they're trying to create here. Yeah. It sounds like they're going to try and create if they're going to make it like the Ride, then the movie's going to last all of like 9 minutes.
Exactly. Well, Pirates of the Caribbean would have lasted that long too, but they incorporated elements.
Pirates is like 12. So.
Uh-huh. And actually, just like The Ride, you go on this when the line for Indiana Jones is way too long. So if the Indiana Jones movie line is way too long, then you go on this. You go see this.
So,
movie.
Yeah.
Fast pass coming through.
Well, yeah. So basically, if there's too many people in the next Indiana Jones movie, go see this one.
Right.
Yeah, right.
The next Indiana Jones movie?
Well, there's supposed to be another one.
Oh, there's another one coming.
Yeah, there's another one.
Oh, goody. Oh,
Disney doesn't buy all that for nothing.
You got
They're
it.
They're going to use it. They're going to use it. I'm down for that.
Yeah. And speaking of which, Disney D23 announced a humongous expansion to both theme parks, Anaheim and Orlando, with a whole Star Wars land. And what I find really exciting about it,
really
the conceptual art is fantastic.
Wait a minute. You're going to say the same thing I was thinking. You're going to say the same thing I was thinking, I bet.
Well, what I like about it is that the cast members who are employed by Disney are actually not going to be wearing Disney uniforms. They're going to be dressed as the actual characters. They're going to be in character in each of those lands. You can actually go into a cantina, and I cannot wait to drink myself some blue milk.
Yeah, we were talking about...
And get your arm cut off.
Yeah. And get my arm cut off, too.
There's supposed to be two interactive rides. One of them was...
Yes.
One of them's going to be a Millennium Falcon.
Yes, that's what excites me. Right.
Keith thinks that's going to be modeled so much like Mission Space at Epcot. Yeah.
Probably a Mission Space type thing.
And there's supposed to be a second one that is sort of like you're like a spy trying to get through some Imperial forces.
It's cantina and it's a shootout with Greedo.
No. If it's a shootout with Greedo, I'm shooting first. I've heard rumors that the second attraction is very interactive with other cast members dressed as stormtroopers, and I kind of have a feeling that one's going to be sort of modeled after Star Trek: The Experience. Right. With the Borg experience.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They could repurpose Fast Track as the pod racing thing.
Yeah.
Well, the problem though is that it's not being used. It's not being developed at Epcot. The Disney or the Star Wars expansion is actually going to be at Disney Studios.
Oh. Yeah. Okay. Hey, I did see the I know y'all seen it too, but it was the diagram for the park that they're going to build, and it had I thought it was cool. There's a snowy area for Hoth, and then there's like Tatooine. It's all the different environmentals all in one circle.
I think that was a joke. That was a joke. Yeah, that's called Lucasfilm Park. Yeah. And that was actually designed for San Francisco.
Those will be in the special editions.
Great. Yeah.
I thought it was the one I was just looking at.
No, okay. I don't think so. I think I know the one you're talking about. That was I looked at it very closely and I think it was called Lucasfilm Park.
Now, I have a serious concern, though. This is really serious. I mean, how can someone walk around in a Jar Jar costume, though, at Disney? I mean, they would have to have, like, an armed guard near them, because,
Well, they probably will, because by the third movie, Jar Jar was, he was working for Queen, or Senator Amidala, so he probably, well, I don't know, hey, actually, the Senate's abolished now, so it doesn't matter.
I had more of a picture of Wally Moose getting punched in the nose.
Yeah. Can you see the employee? They go... Oh man, damn it, I gotta be Jar Jar again.
Yeah, you drew the short straw.
Taking the Star Wars segue into the next article, a whole bunch
I mean, I answer no.
No what?
No.
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 No, but to whatever you're going to say.
The question that's written down.
It was a safe answer. Very safe answer.
A bunch of people named their babies after Anakin Skywalker last year.
Why?
Well, I don't know. I honestly don't know. We have officially hit the peak of Star Wars. The Social Security Administration just published its annual tally of the most popular baby names in the U.S. And Anakin made it in the top 1,000.
And then in 25 years, they can have a son and say,
Luke. I'm your father.
Yeah.
A bunch of boys named
that. That was the whole purpose.
This is a setup.
50 years for this, Joe.
But you have to have twins. Right.
But that's what grandparents are hoping for. You know, right. you got to have those twins. You got to have those twin babies so that you can say that, you're your father. Yeah.
Right. I can see it now.
Lame. So
is Anakin a family name? No, I'm named after that lame kid in the Phantom Menace.
Luke. Some dude just wants to say, Luke, I am your grandfather.
Right. Hey, when we were picking out names for my son, I threw out Luke, and my wife was like, no. And I'm kidding. I said, Han, no. But we ended up settling on Harrison. That's about as close as I could get.
Better than Chewy.
Is his middle name Ford?
Yeah, it's better than Chewy. Yeah. Yeah.
Itchy.
I threw out Chewy.
Lumpy.
Lumpy.
Lumpy. That was the grandfather, wasn't it?
Itchy's the grandfather. Lumpy is the son.
Right. We shouldn't know that.
No.
You just admitted it.
There's going to be a bunch of boys named Annie now. This is fantastic.
Yeah, 218 boys that get named Annie.
It's a hard knock life.
Annie, Lisa, you're so big.
Hey, get this. So my wife didn't want me to call him or, Luke or Han or anything. But you know what's funny is my sister-in-law calls him Little Han. Because of this.
Call him Indy.
Yeah.
We named the dog Indiana.
The dog's named Indy.
Come on.
Dog?
You know, if you ride the train at Disneyland, there's at one of the whistle stops just before you go right around to Toontown.
Yes.
There's a doghouse. And it says on the doghouse, Indiana. Oh, but it gets better. And there's a bone in front of it.
Indiana's bone. As opposed to Indiana Jones?
Oh, I get it.
There's Indiana's bone.
Well, I could
bone.
Say that's also Indiana's home.
You could.
Yeah.
But then why have the bone there? Thank you.
Put a crystal skull there.
Then I'll burn it down, please.
We are nearing the end of the show, which means it's time for our question of the week. What is the toughest scientific concept to wrap your head around? And there are a number of them. Now, this is science, not sci-fi.
Oh, I had a good one, dadgummit.
Yeah, I was going to say midichlorians.
Yeah, I was going to say red matter.
Red matter.
I think time travel was a hard one for me.
I saw that question. I'm like, think red matter. That's it. Yeah.
Red matter.
It's the happy red matter.
Actually, time travel is a good answer. Good answer, Craig. Good answer.
Yeah.
You know what?
FTL.
Yeah.
After watching, I remember, especially Back to the Future, and I'm going, well, if they do this and they do that, and you start going in the circle and you're like, well, that wouldn't work because this, and it just gave me hurdy brain.
That's why we're having so much fun watching Continuum.
Yeah. No, seriously. I would have to say super string theory. I mean, if you really look into it, I mean, on the surface, it seems kind of interesting, but as you start to really get into the nitty gritty of it,
oh God,
man, it'll give you a headache.
I got halfway through Brian Greene's
Elegant Universe
book. And it's like, oh, I can't go any further. It's making me crazy.
Even the second half of the video of Elegant Universe is enough to make you just say, stop. Because it becomes too much. I mean, it's just way too much information. It's very hard to completely wrap your head around.
But it's absolutely required viewing, though. And I love the fact that he has people on debunking the theory.
I think that's true.
He gets 1,000 points for that.
Yeah, I agree.
What is this? What is this show talking about?
It's called The Elegant Universe by Brian Greene. It was on PBS. It really goes into explaining super string theory, which is used to help create about the unification theory between Newtonian physics and quantum mechanics.
Anything quantum makes my brain hurt.
Wait a minute. Brian Greene, the guy from 90210?
No, not Brian Austin.
Not Brian Austin Greene.
Yikes.
Wow, he's smart.
Craig, you just admitted you watched that show.
Yeah.
By the fact that we knew Brian Austin Greene, I kind of kind of did the same.
Okay, so where's this at? Where can I watch this at?
It's on home. You can get the video through Amazon, I would imagine.
Buy it on Amazon. Just look at Brian
Greene's check it out.
Elegant Universe.
Yeah. It might be on Apple TV.
Six DVDs or something.
Yeah, it's less. Actually, just look for Elegant Universe.
Yeah.
It's fantastic viewing.
And there's also a book. The book is tough.
And there's Netflix. I mean, you can, if you still have the DVD,
it might be on Netflix.
I did see it through Netflix.
You did?
Oh, did you?
Well, there you go then.
Yeah, there's actually two people that they interview, and I never hear a word they say. The one lady that says crackpots and bananas. And then the guy with the hair.
The guy with the hair.
I don't hear anything he says. I look at that hair.
He's got this hair. He has this sculpted hair, and that's all I'm staring at. I see his mouth move like a puppet, and I'm not hearing a word. I'm just looking at that hair.
Anyway.
Oh, thank you, gentlemen, for joining us.
Oh, our pleasure.
As always, it's been fun. And
really? Really?
I'm just kidding. It's been real, and it's been nice.
But not real nice.
Yeah. I always heard real and fun, but all right, we'll go with that. We want to know your answer to this week's question. Call us on the listener line, 206-222-CHAT, or if you've got input on any of the topics we talked about, we would love to hear from you. Email us, technorama@chuckchat.com. Same as it ever was. It's always been there.
Same as it ever was.
You got to do the thing with your arm, too.
Yeah.
This is not my beautiful podcast.
Right. Well, how did I get here? Find us on the Facebook and all that other good stuff. Go over to chuckj.com/technorama.
The Facebook.
The Facebook.
The Facebook.
Did they change the name?
Yeah, the Facebook.
Yeah. Us old timers, we can't keep up. Until next time, give me a binary high five, Craig.
101.
And that's all there is.
All she wrote.